University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hour three of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I want to welcome all of our great listeners across the country. And a huge howdy-do to our new friends in the great state of Nevada. A number of you folks listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network. And we've got a story coming up in just a few moments that is just going to blow you away. A story from Nevada, where apparently it's okay to go to a casino, but it's not okay to go to church. So hang tight. We're going to get to that story. But we had a call. We sort of ran long in the last segment and wanted to bring a regular listener of this program. Brandel is on the line, our official farm correspondent. Brandel, good to have you on the show. What's happening on the farm today?
Just a lot of outside work, Todd. I'm putting these boys to work, so we're just outside.
Good for you.
Enjoying the pretty weather.
Well, you got to enjoy that. You know what? It's good the boys are out there learning about hard work and putting in a hard day's work. Good for them.
Yeah.
So, look, we were talking about my book, Culture Jihad, and you wanted to weigh in. You told my call screener you wanted to weigh in on this item I wrote that was from Dr. James Dobson.
Yeah, when you read that, Todd, I mean, I had to, like, get myself in check. I just wanted to cry. Here's the deal. I'm just begging and pleading for parents to think about homeschooling. Todd, we have got to stop putting our children on this. We are sacrificing our children all for what? For the parents to have a bigger home or a nicer car or more vacations. We have got to realize we are in a civil war, and they're coming after our kids. And I'm just pleading for parents to think about homeschooling. You know, Todd, I was just an average student. I went to public school, and you know, I got my associates, and it's funny, God put on my heart to work towards a teaching degree, and I never finished it because I wanted to have more kids. But he put that in my heart to teach. But guess what? I'm teaching my children, my most precious treasures. So I just would plead with parents to just ask God what he wants for the future of their family and their children. It's hard work, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And I'm starting to see the fruits of my labor, Todd, because the oldest boys are 16 and we're almost done.
And, you know, Brandel, you only have a good friend of mine wrote a book. Her name is Michelle Cox, and it's just a terrific book called Just 18 Summers. And the whole premise of this book is that's all you got. If you know, whatever knowledge, whatever values you were going to instill upon your children, you've got 18 summers to do that. And then it's over, you know, so you better take advantage of those years you have with your kids to raise them upright, raise them in the ways of the Lord. And if you do not, then you get what you see happening in America. But you know what, Brandel? This is what gets me. A lot of those young people that are marching in the streets right now, I guarantee you, a good many of them grew up in a good, solid family home, grew up in a good church environment. But mom and dad, they sent those kids off to public school, and they had no idea what they were doing to their children in those classrooms.
Right. And the public university, we have to choose very carefully where we are going to send our
children. Oh, it's everywhere now.
Off to
everywhere.
College. Yep.
Yeah, no, you know what, Brandel, good for you. And I do encourage you folks out there, homeschool your kids. If that's an option for you, you ought to take advantage of it. And to be honest, I was very surprised by the numbers of parents who are a lot of people are homeschooling, Brandel, because it's a religious preference. You know, that's what they want to do. It's part of their faith, what they believe in. But you know, a lot of moms and dads, It's a decision they're making, and religion really has nothing to do with it. They just want to be able to educate their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I see this on the horizon, Todd. I think they're probably going to come after homeschoolers next. So this mom is ready for a fight. I'm ready for it. Mm. I see it on the horizon.
All right. All right. Brandel, you hang in there. And thanks for the word of encouragement. All you moms and dads out there, pay attention. Got to look after what your kids are learning in that public school. All right. All you folks in Nevada, you're going to want to pay very close attention to this next story. Casinos across your state are open, but many churches are closed. What's going on in Nevada? On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Ryan Tucker, ADF Senior Counsel, that's Alliance Defending Freedom, Director of the Center for Christian Ministries. Ryan, good to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Todd. Pleasure to be here.
And what is going on here now? I understand, because my understanding was folks could, if you could go to the casinos, you could go to your local church to worship.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. You've got casinos that are open at 50% capacity, but even at 50% capacity, you've got hundreds, if not thousands of people streaming into these casinos, pulling slots, sitting there for hours on end, but yet in the state, churches are limited to 50 people at their services. So you have hundreds, thousands of people at casinos coming from not just Nevada, from the United States or even elsewhere, sitting again for hours on end right next to people. But if a church, like the one we're representing, wants to have a 45-minute indoor service, that's against the law.
This is just insane. Now, you guys are representing Calvary Chapel in Dayton Valley. What's going on with that church?
Well, it's a rural church. They're just outside of Carson City. And they're a church that has about 200 people or so on an average church service. And all they want to do is, you know, to abide by, you know, social distancing and other health and safety guidelines that have been mandated for, you know, other industries. But yet, because they have more than 200 that normally show up, they're precluded from having these services because they're limited to 50. All the while, like I mentioned, you've got casinos in Reno and Vegas and elsewhere throughout the state wide open at the same time. And it's obviously unconstitutional, and it really just lacks a common sense.
Yeah, the governor, as you guys write over at ADF, the governor can't expect anyone to believe that his unequal regulation of church services while opening wide the doors of casinos is a fair and logical way to flatten the curve. Exactly how long are they anticipating that the churches have to abide by these social distancing guidelines that the casinos do not have to abide by?
Well, right now it's indefinite. We don't know when the governor will further loosen these restrictions. So for right now, you know, this poor church and other churches in the state are, again, limited in the way that they can worship. All the while, they pass by casinos. And it's not just casinos. It's theme parks, restaurants, bars. There's other industries in the state that are able to operate at 50% capacity, again, while a large majority of the churches in the state are, in fact, closed.
I'm wondering, Ryan, if the Supreme Court decision, you know, impacting those California churches and basically endorsing Governor Gavin Newsom's decision to crack down on the churches, is the governor in Nevada, is that the reason why he's acting this way towards the churches?
Well, certainly, you know, that's I'm sure part of the thought process. But again, what the order was in play in California is completely different than the order that's in Nevada. The Supreme Court did not address casinos, did not address theme parks. And so, you know, the two are really different. They're really apples and oranges to one another. We're hopeful that we don't have to go all the way to U.S. Supreme Court to resolve this. But currently we're at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we're going to be asking the court the very question that these other churches across the United States have been asking, and that is, why are certain secular industries or businesses open, but yet church doors remain closed?
Yeah, I'm with you. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I'm so glad, though, that you guys are on the case here. Just a crazy story. Ryan Tucker, Alliance Defending Freedom, thank you for calling into the show today.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, we got to jump all over this story. You folks in Nevada, what is going on in your state? I mean, if you're going to open up the casinos, if you're going to pass around the casino, if you're going to pass around those chips at the poker table, surely they're going to be able to pass around the communion cup at the local church. I mean, come on. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Breaking news out of Mexico. This is the Pacific Coast side. There has been a big old earthquake, magnitude 7.4. I was watching some of the video. We're going to post some of this video that we found on Twitter on our live show blog at toddstarnes.com. But man, you can actually see the buildings shaking back and forth. Unbelievable. 7.4 earthquake. There has been apparently a tsunami wave. It has not been that large, but it doesn't take much water to move folks out there. And at least one person has died. We'll keep you posted on this story out of Mexico. All right, let's get to the phone lines. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia. Evans, listening to us on 94.1 FM. Hi, Evans. What's on your mind today?
Hello?
You are on the air.
Yes, Todd Starnes.
That would be me, yes. What's on your mind, Evans?
On my mind is you know, these Democratic governors telling the police to stand back. Is that breaking the law? Because they need to be held accountable. We are in a war, and if we sit back and let this happen, and they tear down, it calls. I don't agree with all the Confederate statues, but that's not what they're after. They're after taking away all of history. It's a socialist communist move. When I went to the Renew American Project, there was a guy there selling DVDs and books, and one of his name is William Finley or something that way. And it's, one of the things I got from him was, who is the king in America? And he talked about how all of we are supposed to be the king, and by God granted our rights, and we are supposed to be the ones who are in charge of our nation. And so everything has changed and flipped, and they have taken charge of the nation. And I just want to say that something has to be done. Now, we can't sit back and let them do this, because this is the same thing that's happened before in the communist country.
Well, it has. And I know that book you referenced there, William Federer, is the author. I actually have it in my library. And, you know, the concern I have, Evans, is that when you erase all of history, and they're trying to do this with the Holocaust, you know, they don't want to teach kids about the Holocaust. When you stop teaching history, you will repeat history, because that's just the way it is. I mean, this is when you go back and read history books, that's what's happened time and time again. So there is a concerted effort to take out America here, and they're using our public schools. And it used to be college and university level, but now it's all the way down to kindergarten. So, yep. This is a complete and utter destruction of our society, and it starts with the family unit, mom, dad, kids.
Yeah. So what can be done instead of sitting back this way? Because, you know, I was subbing for the school. I got a BS in Christmas from Liberty, but I subbed for the schools, and they got angry because I take my Bible reading on planning period, but you can have the Muslim thing, just like the churches were closed and the mosque was open, and you can have the Harry Potter, and it's just a shame. It's a shame.
It is a shame, Evans, and I'm not going to give away the book, because I really want people to read this thing, but I am going to tell you one very simple thing that we could do to fix this nonsense. And I want to go back to the chapter I was reading on from Dr. James Dobson, because Dr. Dobson had a lot of truth in this conversation. He's been a regular on my radio show for, a number of years now. And Dr. Dobson says that the problem, and let me get to page 80 here. I lost my spot here, Evans. You caught me off guard a little bit. That doesn't happen all the time. Here we go. So Dr. Dobson says, here's the problem. This is why we are where we are in America. These are the words of Dr. James Dobson. Unfortunately, more than half of Americans, including the majority of Christians, don't even bother to vote. Shame on them all. Don't they know that tyranny for us and our children is only one generation or even one election away? We must vote, vote, vote to elect leaders who will defend what has been purchased with the blood of patriots who died to protect our liberty. That's it in a nutshell, Evans. We got to vote. We got to engage the political process.
Well, we got to pray first. We got to start calling. I want to speak next Sunday. I'm going to call the church. The churches need to start praying and praying about the election now. And they need to all be praying all over our nation to bring our nation back. Because we as a people have departed from the faith. And God, just like I was reading Nehemiah, he saw it and he started praying first. And then you see what God did. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes the people to be willing to stand up. And they didn't they stood with the weapon in one hand and the trial working in the other hand. And that's what Christians have to do. It's no more this little stuff about, you can say whatever you want to. No, we have to stand up. The Bible says be willing to give account for the faith in your always. You have to stand for the faith. And we are not doing that as a people.
Well, no, we're not doing it. And the church isn't doing it. I mean, when you have the Southern Baptist Convention, the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention going out there and saying, stop saying all lives matter. When you have the president of the Southern Baptist Convention out there saying, you know what, we ought to engage in gender pronoun hospitality. In other words, we ought to ignore what the Bible says. God created man and woman, and now it's a free-for-all. So unfortunately, many of our denominations, Evans, and thank you for the call, many of our denominations have been co-opted. They have been corrupted by the culture. We have been told to be salt and light. That is the purpose of the church in America, the church around the world, to be salt and light. But unfortunately, many American churches are on a salt-free diet. And they have their heads in the sand. They don't want to offend anybody. Well, you know what? You can have the best worship band in America. But if you don't have a preacher preaching from the Bible, the Holy Bible, instead of a 5-point feel-good sermon, you need to find another church. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to get into a sermon here. But I got to tell you, one of the reasons, and I write about this in Culture Jihad, one of the reasons the country is the way it is in the shape it's in is the church has abdicated its responsibility to speak truth into the culture. Instead, they just all want to get along. They don't want to offend anybody. Well, you know what? How's that working out for you, Southern Baptist Convention, where you've got tens of thousands of people leaving your convention every year? And I'd say your convention, that's my convention because I'm a Baptist. It's terrible. Gotta wake up, folks. Gotta wake up. 844-747-8868. Todd in Maine, hang tight. We're going to get to your call and all of your calls. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We have some breaking news from Hollywood. This is this is delicious. Grace Baker, our ace reporter on the Todd Starnes Radio Show, just sent me this item from the Daily Wire. So Jimmy Kimmel, let me set the stage for this story. Yesterday, a word came out. FoxNews.com got a hold of audio of Jimmy Kimmel pretending to be a black man singing the N-word. Over and over and over and over and over again. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel, it was not just a little racist. It was a whole cotton field full of racist. Wait, can I say that? I don't think I can say that. Well, I just did. So anyway, cotton, the fabric of our lives. What can I say? So anyway, everybody's calling out Jimmy Kimmel. Of course, we knew a few days ago that he was taking a break. And normally when a Hollywood star takes a break, that means they either got caught in bed with somebody or they're a racist. And in this case, Jimmy Kimmel has come out with a statement. And we're going to get to your calls in just a second. I want to talk about this first because our callers are, there is a related issue, if you will. So Jimmy Kimmel releasing a statement. I have long been reluctant to address this, but I'm a racist. No, he didn't say that. I did. I have long been reluctant to address this as I knew doing so would be celebrated as a victory by those who equate apologies with weakness and cheer for leaders who use prejudice to divide us. Oh, like you, Jimmy? That delay was a mistake. There was nothing more important to me than your respect. And I apologize to those who were genuinely hurt or offended by the makeup I wore or the words I spoke. Oh, yes, folks. Much like the Democrat governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Governor Ralph KKK, Blackface Norman, Jimmy Kimmel wore blackface. So not only does he love spouting and spewing the N-word, he also wears blackface. On KROQ radio in the mid-1980s, I did a recurring impression of the NBA player Karl Malone. In the late 90s, I continued impersonating Malone on TV. We hired makeup artists to make me look as much like Karl Malone as possible. In other words, he wore blackface. I never considered that this might be seen as anything other than an imitation of a fellow human being, one that had no more to do with Carl's skin color than it did his bulging muscles and bald head. Can I just say something? Is it just me or is a little creepy when a grown man compliments another man's bulging muscles? I've done dozens of impressions of famous people, including Snoop Dogg and Oprah. Oh, so he's a serial racist. In each case, I thought of them as impersonations of celebrities and nothing more. Looking back, many of the sketches are embarrassing, and it is frustrating that these thoughtless moments have become a weapon by some to diminish my criticisms of social and other injustices. I believe I have evolved and matured over the last 20-plus years, and I hope that is evidence to anyone who watches my show. I know this will not be the last I hear of this and that it will be used against me to try to quiet me. I love this country too much to allow that. I won't be bullied into silence by those who feign outrage to advance their oppressive and genuinely racist agendas. Oh, that's genuinely. I think there's a typo there. And genuinely racist agendas. My summer vacation has been planned for more than a year and includes the next two summers off as well. I will be back to work in September. Where's he vacationing? Harlem? Maybe. What is he going to do? Stand up at late night at the Apollo? Sincerely, Jimmy Kimmel. Well, there you have it. I don't think he's all that sorry. But honestly, I don't. Look. At the end of the day here, folks, if you use the N-word, you get what's coming to you. I just think that's a detestable word. But all of these actors and everything, these are the people that are holier than thou. They have set themselves up on this moral high horse, if you will. And they expect all the rest of us to follow their rules and regulations when they, in turn, run around and they dress up in blackface and use the N-word. I believe there's a word for that. It's called hypocrisy. All right, let's get to the phone lines here. 844-747-8868, Portland, Maine. Todd is listening to us on WLOB, the Big Lobster. Todd, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. What do you think about Jimmy Kimmel's apology there?
Oh.
I don't think he's apologizing.
Same old stuff we hear from them.
Todd, what's on your mind?
So, I wouldn't be calling in if I didn't love you. You know that. But I just
You're
have to take issue
to
with what you said about people get what they get when they use the N-word. I just don't believe we can let people take the law into their own hands as far as like that Macy's issue.
just no, look, I hear what you're saying, Todd. But so, folks, if you were not listening, I suggested that if the Macy's worker had, in fact, used the N-word in front of these two black men, then the guy got what he deserved. Todd, it would be like this. I grew up in the Deep South, but I think we share the same values with a lot of folks there in Maine. If somebody was talking smack about my mother, you know, to my face, there was a time in society where the appropriate response would have been delivered to the bridge of the other person's nose. That's the point I was trying to get across.
And I understand your feeling, because I just don't think, especially in this time with what's going on, we need to or should advocate people taking the law into their own hands.
You see, I see where you're going with this, Todd, but I think my bigger problem is everything is, you know, there was a time in American history where let's say two grade schoolers fighting on the on the ball field, just a whatever. You know, normally that would have been handled and settled right there on the playground. But now they call the police. They arrest the kids. The kids get charged. You know, as 7 or 8 year olds. I mean, there's so what I'm saying is
I can't agree with that, obviously.
Yeah, but again, as from a grown-up perspective, there was a time when even bar fights were bar fights. I mean, it was just, you know, guys dusted up and, you know, somebody says something about somebody's girlfriend. And again, do I think that's appropriate? No, of course not. But do I think that the police need to be called in for something like that? I don't think so. What do you think should have happened? What do you think? Again, it's really a moot point because Macy's is saying that this guy never said that word and these guys just randomly targeted this guy. And so, of course, that's a very different story.
It means that with what's going on in the country right now, that people will say someone said something that they actually didn't and then go ahead and undertake what they do.
Oh, and that's absolutely uncalled for, you know, and that was, you know, and again, I get it. But it's I find that word incredibly, incredibly detestable. And it's just for me, that just that's not cool.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that part of it.
All right. Well, Todd, all right. Look, I appreciate you taking me to task. I mean, folks, you're not going to agree with everything I say. That would make for a boring, you know, radio show. So Todd, thank you for calling in. Appreciate that. So got to keep me on the straight and narrow. Let's go to Cumberland, Maine. Tyler listening to us on WLOB. A lot of listeners from Maine today. Hi, Tyler. What's going on?
Well, I guess we all think the same, Todd, because I was about to say the exact same thing. Like, let's say I'm in a group of people, and it's me and two black friends, and someone calls one of my black friends the N-word. Okay, so now you're saying we take it into our own hands. Does that mean I give him one to the bridge of the nose, and then he falls down, and I kick him in the head? I mean, where does it end? I mean, especially with these mobs. I mean, the proper response is call the police. And take care of it like that, because where does it end? I mean, these mobs, they're going to kill people. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Go ahead, Tyler. Go ahead.
I heard you say that thing about, you know, that guy at Macy's, and then you said that the Macy's people said that the dude didn't even say anything to those two black guys. So, I mean, so here's an instance where nothing was even said, and they took the law, quote-unquote, into their own hands. Beat the crap out of that guy. I mean, you know, like, where does it end is all I'm saying. I mean, punch him once in the face, he falls down, kick him in the face, kick him in the ribs, who knows? Keep kicking him, why not? I mean, we're gonna just say he gets what he deserves. Like, where does that end?
I hear what you're saying, Tyler. Jeez, Lou, I'm losing this argument here. Look, Tyler, don't you remember there was a time, though, when if two guys had a major disagreement like that, they would step outside. Remember, you'd step outside and handle it like gentlemen.
Right, and there was a time even before that where you took 12 paces, turned, and fired. So, I mean, it's and we're not in those times.
Tyler, you're killing me here, man. What's?
I don't know. I'm just saying, where does it end?
I know. Look, I get it.
You know, the left is crazy. We need Jesus soon.
No, amen, we do. Todd got it right. Tyler, okay, you're right, too. I repent. I understand where you're going with this. Jeez, Lou.
Okay. Thank you.
Tyler, thanks for calling in. Bill Main, where did I go wrong today?
Let's see. You got up, and then yeah, that was about it.
Jeez, yeah. Lou. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying there was. Remember, Bill, you and I are similar in age. I mean, right. There was a time when you would have a disagreement like that. You say, "All right, well, let's step outside and settle it like men."
Done that before. Didn't work out in my favor, but yeah, I've done that before. It's not. Is it the best way to handle something? No, but you know,
no,
at the same time, I think just let's take it back a notch. If you have that sort of issue, if we would stop and have the uncomfortable conversation and say, look, I don't appreciate that or whatever, and you don't have to slug it out, but at least have that conversation. But people aren't willing to have that conversation. They're not willing to talk about their differences. They just want to,
I get it. And maybe the response, the proper reaction, again, should, you know, if, and right now the police are investigating. Macy says their guy didn't do anything wrong. But let's just say, you know, those guys were telling the truth.
Sure.
What they should have done is call a manager over and settle that away.
Yeah.
But, you know, but if you're going to go up to some, look, if you're going to go up to somebody just right up to their face and call them the N-word,
you're going
to
get,
you know, it's
backlash.
Hard for me to. It's hard to feel sorry for somebody.
Well, yes,
like
but
that.
I say don't. We're not. Here's my approach. I wouldn't advocate slugging someone, but if you did that, why would you be shocked if you did get slugged?
There you go. All right, that's fair enough. Yeah. But not that, and it's not right. But I'm just saying it's hard for me to feel sorry for somebody like
yeah,
that.
What did you expect would happen?
I'm really surprised that neither of you asked if I had ever been in a situation like that before.
I don't expect you would ever be in a situation like that.
And you would be correct.
Well, see, there you go. Have you ever been in that situation before?
No, I just wanted to be included.
Very good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, good.
We're going to need some inclusive sensitivity training here.
This show is way off the rails today.
Oh,
so the entire audience is against me. I'm apparently a bad human being. And now, apparently, the call screener wants a hug.
Well, you know, I've been in quarantine for a while. I need a hug every once in a while.
Yeah, we're social distancing right now.
All right, I'm going to take a break and go drink something.
I think
844, we all need a break. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So there, I'm not sure what's going on here. We're not even going to put this on the live show block, but there's some crazy protests going on right now in Washington, D.C., right near the White House. And I can't tell if this is a large woman or a large man in a thong bikini, but they're riding around on a Segway, and they're part of the Black Lives Matter crowd. I guess they're a pretty diverse bunch over there. Jeez, Lou, nobody needs to see that on their Twitter feed. Mm-mm-mm. Folks, the country's gone plumb nuts. All right, let's get back to the phones here. East End, Arkansas. John listening to us on KARN. Hi, John. What's going on today?
Hey, Todd. Just a very short comment. I'm 64. I learned back in the early 90s I used to have a bad temper, but then I dropped my temper, quit getting mad at people. And I just simply said, I'm not going to drop myself down to your level, and I would just walk off.
Well, good for you. And, you know, The Rock? I don't know. I think it was The Rock in one of those movies where, you know, the typical pool hall and, you know, the guy's trying to beat up on, you know, The Rock, and he just walks out. You know, he doesn't do anything. So
yeah.
I get your point there. Well, that's good advice, John. So yep, there you go. John,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
good stuff. All right. That'll fit on a T-shirt. So, all right, John, appreciate the call. Yeah. You know, sometimes I just get myself in trouble. I don't know how that happens, but it does. So there you go. So look, I want to weigh in on this this situation with NASCAR. And honestly, I just have to say, first of all, NASCAR has, you know, the drivers, the pit crews, I think they've done an amazing job here standing alongside Bubba Wallace. And the allegations are, and the Justice Department is investigating this, so it's a big deal, that they found a noose in his garage. Now, there's a lot of questions. A lot of people are wondering, where are the photographs? Where's the video? And that's a good question. That's a fair question, because normally at this stage of the game, there is evidence, and so you can see it. We have yet to see that. That's not to say there is no evidence, but we haven't seen it yet. Now, the other part of this, on Twitter, and if you've been on Twitter, you know what I'm about to say, that there are images of the garage area, and they have a pull-down on the garage doors, and that pull-down is a rope that is tied like a noose, you grab it and you pull down the garage, and all of the garage doors have this rope hanging down. Some people are suggesting that was the rope. That's what this is. We don't know that to be the case. So anyway, Bubba Wallace was on The View earlier today, and he was asked about this, and he says that in response to people who believe the noose incident was staged, he says it's simple-minded people like that, the ones who are afraid of change. They use everything in their power to defend what they stand up for instead of trying to listen and understand what's going on. Okay, well, that's a peculiar answer to that question. Because if, in fact, those images are accurate and there is a rope like that on every other garage door, those have been there for a very long time. So if that, in fact, is the noose they're talking about, then why is this all of a sudden an issue? Why now make this an issue? Bubba Wallace also says he's not the one who saw or found the noose. Okay, well, who did? And I just want to be very clear here. If somebody did this, if somebody left a noose in Bubba Wallace's garage, that person should be charged with a crime, and that person should be banned from NASCAR. But if this turns out to be a Jussie Smollett case, that person needs to face charges, and that person needs to be banned from NASCAR, whoever that person is. I don't care, white or black. So anyway, we'll follow this development. What an ugly story, though. But the beautiful thing is the response to Bubba Wallace, where you saw dozens of drivers and pit crew walking alongside of him, pushing his car out there on the track. What a statement that is. One nation under God. Even NASCAR. All right, folks, been a great show. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.